the Kabbalah discusses what happened before the creation of the world. Well, it's not true, because the creation of the world that we see and the creation of the world before that, right? In other words, we only can see the physical part of the world. We cannot see the spiritual part of the world, which is the dimensions above which we're blind to, which is good and bad. The good part is we don't go crazy, right? If you see the spiritual worlds above, you're nuts. You see all the angels running around, all the other creatures around you, you'll be, the Gemara says you're going to go crazy. So on the one side, we're lucky we can't see it. On the other side, it's tragic because we're shut off that dimension. And you have to try and reach up and reach out and try and break through. But anyway, the Kabbalah discusses the previous, what happened prior to creation. Prior to creation of our universe. And so let's just start off with this, with the Arizal's introduction to creation. So he says, so this is an introduction from Hashem. This book starts off with Hashem. And Hashem in Kabbalistic terminology is called Ein Sof Baruch Hu. He's called Ein Sof Baruch Hu. He's called the infinite one with no end. Infinite one. So it's an interesting terminology. If you want to define Hashem. And the answer is...
Shargogun.
Iguli.
Amen.
If you want to define Hashem, you define about what you don't know about Hashem.
Which is nothing.
Exactly. But we do know what we don't know. We know that he's infinite. We know he has no end. So that's one of the ways we define Hashem as Ein Sof. So the Kabbalists call him Ein Sof Baruch Hu. And Arizal starts off that a person's going to know at the beginning of time. Kol HaMitzyut Or Pashut. Hashem, light was everywhere. Hashem's light was energy. Hashem's energy, whatever Hashem's light. Obviously, you can't take it. It's not light. It's not energy. Whatever it is, Hashem is everywhere. So he calls that Or Pashut, simple light. Now, what is simple? Simple is not simple at all. It's complicated. Simple means it's equal everywhere. It's equal everywhere. Hashem was equal everywhere. What does that mean? Hashem's energy was equal everywhere. And there was no space empty of Hashem. Hashem's presence filled up the whole, whatever it was. I didn't call it universe. It was whatever it was at that time. Hashem's presence everywhere. Hashem's presence everywhere. So everything is called what's called Or Ein Sof. The whole, whatever it was full of Or Ein Sof. Hashem's energy. Hashem's energy, light, filled up this whole space. And so we can't even understand what it means. His energy was everywhere. What kind of energy? And it's energy which is unlimited. Unlimited energy and unlimited space. And that's called the Or Ein Sof, which is the light of the Ein Sof. Or ze eno atzmuto chas v'shalom. Now this is interesting because this whole discussion over here, what is Hashem and what is his energy? So here the commentary says it's not Hashem, it's his energy. Now, the trouble is you can't divide the two. You can't say Hashem and his energy are two different things. Chas v'shalom, because then you make two different gods. The energy of Hashem is the emanation from Hashem. What does that mean? No idea. It's an emanation from Hashem. Okay.
It's the beginning of how we can relate to Hashem.
It's the beginning of how you relate to Hashem. Okay. So we have to understand.
He's the ultimate giver of everything.
What we have to understand is that all these terminologies were invented for man, because they don't really exist. There's no way you can describe all this, because no one's ever been there, no one's ever seen it. All we can do is I can tell you what Eliyahu Navi told Arizal. Or whatever the Arizal learned, he learned from Eliyahu Navi, and Eliyahu Navi explained to him the Zohar. If it wasn't for Gilu Eliyahu Navi, Arizal, how are you going to learn all these things? We have never been to these worlds, we don't know what's going on. So I'm just telling you, this is very simplistic, I'm just reading it to you, that it was all spiritual energy, filled up the world, whatever it was. And this is not Hashem, this is his energy. We can't even talk about Hashem himself. So the emanations coming from Hashem we can talk about. Before the emanations, we can't talk about Hashem. We have no concept at all. So we can talk about his energy. So you can imagine, his emanations fill up, there's no space. It fills up everything. The emanations of Hashem filled up everything. There's no void of his emanations. there was no void from Hashem's energy. So what happens? There was no space for him to create. That's what the Kabbalah says. There was no space for him to create. Hashem has to create a space to create. What does that mean? So it's human terminology, right? People say, you have to give me my space. You can't expect a child to grow unless you give him a space. How do you get a child to become responsible? You move away from him. Let him cope by himself. If you don't let him cope by himself, if every time a child falls down and you pick him up, what happens?
It's weaker.
He'll never learn how to walk. So you have to give the creation space. Or is this, if Hashem is, like imagine, Adam Rishon is in Gan Eden, whatever that means. It's in the highest level, Gan Eden. And Hashem says, okay, here, Gan Eden, here's a tree, don't eat from this tree. Okay, now, he doesn't feel Hashem watching him every second. That is what Hashem withdrew, in a sense. The presence of Hashem withdrew. What do you mean the presence of Hashem withdrew? Hashem is everywhere. He never felt it everywhere. That's what Rav Chaim Volozhin says. Rav Chaim Volozhin says, oh, the Hashem is there. Of course Hashem is everywhere. Hashem is even in the bathroom. But we don't feel it. And that's the sense Hashem withdrew. That's the constriction. We're going to talk about the constriction. Hashem constricted himself. So we ourselves cannot feel Hashem's presence. Otherwise, if we felt Hashem's presence 24/7, we just wouldn't sin. If Adam Rishon felt Hashem's presence, and all of a sudden it says, and Hashem spoke to Adam, and Adam was hiding from Hashem. He's hiding from Hashem. I'm naked, I can't. Who told you you're naked? Like, this is a conversation going on. But when the conversation wasn't going on, Adam Rishon felt he could get away with it. He could hide. He didn't feel Hashem's presence everywhere. He could hide from Hashem. So even that time, and that's the beginning of the creation of man. So I'm way before that. There's a space where Hashem created to allow the creations to develop and be slightly independent. It's amazing because Rashi brings down that the earth rebelled against Hashem. I mean, how does the earth have free choice? Earth rebelled. When does the earth rebel against Hashem?
The plants.
Hashem said, let the trees taste like the fruit. Etz peri or separi. A tree of fruit that makes fruits. Because the tree itself is a fruit. And what happens? The tree doesn't make it taste like a fruit. The tree made fruit, but it doesn't taste like fruit. So it says the earth rebelled and said, no, how can you make it? It doesn't make sense. If the tree tastes like fruit, people eat the tree, there won't be any trees left. It's bad enough we use the trees for paper and stuff. But imagine the trees also tasted good. They just cut the whole trees down. It's not sustainable. The earth says it's not sustainable. It rebelled. How could the earth rebel? And the answer, Hashem created a kind of ability for things to grow and even to the point where they can disobey. Free will. How? Hashem withdrew to set a point where even, say, angels can rebel. And we find angels did rebel. Right? The Malach HaMoved, for example, is a rebel. Man is not going to be good. Hashem says it's going to be good. Man.
It's the Bnei Elohim later in the parasha.
Mm-hmm. Nephilim. The Nephilim, how you are it? Question, what is Nephilim? Okay.
You said that the Malachim don't have the Bechira, no free choice.
Who?
That the Malachim don't have free choice.
Seems like they do, for a certain extent. Yeah. And it depends on who. Depends on what. So even the Malachim, we see elements of free choice. The Nephilim. Mm-hmm. No such thing. There's a concept. Malachim that rebelled and, they disagree with Hashem's creation. For your sake, Hashem. We rebel for you, not for me. It's like the earth rebelling, not for us, not for me. The earth's not getting anything. I said, for you, for your creation, Hashem, it doesn't make sense. It's for your greater glory, I'm not going to make trees that taste like fruit. Psh. The angel said, for your greater glory, don't create man. He's going to rebel against you. For your greater glory, I'm not doing it. They're doing Lashem Shemayim. It's like they're rebelling. Maybe it's a bad word. But Lashem Shemayim, we're disagreeing with you, Hashem. We can also disagree with Hashem, Lashem Shemayim. Moshe Rabbeinu disagreed with Hashem, Lashem Shemayim. Why are you going to kill the people? What are the Egyptians going to say? Avraham Avinu disagrees with Hashem, Lashem Shemayim. Where's the Mishpat? People are going to say, Hashem does not do staka Mishpat. Where's the Mishpat? Where's the justice for killing Saddam? The righteous as well. I wish we had Avraham Avinu here.
Negotiate
the Holocaust. Unfortunately, we did the Gemara. Only Yitzhak can save us. Not Avraham. We did the Gemara, remember that? No, Avraham and not Yaakov. Let them die on Kiddush Hashem. That's what the Gemara says. Avraham Avinu says, let them die on Kiddush Hashem. And they did. Where was Yitzhak? No. Maybe they didn't ask Yitzhak. Yitzhak didn't get a choice. So.
This is Mida.
Which one?
Midasatim.
Of what? To do what? To say yes or no?
To be maskim.
No, wrong. Wrong! That's what the Gemara says. Wrong! Yitzhak Avinu was the one who stood up for the Jews. Why? They don't deserve it. I'll be midasatim. They're going too far, Hashem. Because he was midasatim. You can't tell, you can't teach Yitzhak about Din. You can teach Abraham about Din, and Abraham say, listen, I'm Chesed. I don't know anything about Din. Okay, Hashem. You can teach Yaakov about Din. He's Tiferet. He's in the middle. He doesn't understand Din. Yitzhak Avinu says, I understand Din, Hashem. This is not even Din you're doing. That's a greatness. If you know exactly what's going on, then you can argue. If you don't know exactly what's going on, you can't argue.
So
Gemara says that he argued. He said, listen, how long is man's lifespan? 70 years. Half the time they're sleeping. So it's 35 years. And how many years in the bathroom? 10 years in the bathroom and toilet and drinking and eating. How many years are left? He came down to 12 years are left. Man's life. He said, Hashem, listen, he says, either we'll split it. You take half and I'll take half. Either you take the whole thing and you carry the burden of 12 years of sin. It's nothing. 12 years of sin, nothing. Or we'll split. So you carry 6 years and I'll carry 6 years. So, nice negotiator. He's a good negotiator. It's like Avinu. Because the din says they don't deserve to die. Because if they sinned all their lives, you're right. But they didn't sin all their lives. They're sleeping half the time. They're going to the bathroom half the time. They didn't sin all their lives. Well, you're going to kill them for a little bit of their lives? You can't kill them for a little bit of their lives. Okay. What a great defense. Wow. So if the light of Hashem has no boundaries, what is Hashem? We can't. It's no idea. No idea. Obviously, we're not even going to try to discuss. But obviously, it's the same thing. It's not different. Right? The emanation of Hashem is Hashem also. But we try and delineate so we don't talk about Hashem. We have the chutzpah to talk about Hashem. Right? If you see the armies of the king, they're terrifying. How much more so the king himself? We're scared to talk about the king. And that's what he does. That result always tries to talk about the lower worlds, and leave you to figure out the higher worlds looking at the lower worlds. Because everything is a reflection of the above. To a certain extent.
It's not just the earth.
Where do you see this in this week's parasha? Na'aseh Adam b'tzelemenu. Let's make man in our image. What do you mean? A man is the image of God? No. It's a little reflection of something. So why discuss above when I can talk about below and you can work it out for yourself, hopefully. It's hard to work it out for yourself. So we're not going to discuss Hashem. We're going to discuss Or Ein Sof. Talk about lower stage. But obviously, there's no two parts. There's no vacancy of the Or Ein Sof. Okay, so now we get into a little bit of an explanation over here. Why did God create the world? And so that result says, when Hashem's intention was to create the world for the known reason, what's the known reason? He wants to be called by his attributes. Wait a minute, what does that mean? I want to be called by my attributes. He doesn't have attributes. He wants people who will emulate him by his attributes. He wants to be called by his attributes implies he wants to create people to be Rachum, Rachanun, Erech Abayim. He wants us to be like him. He wants to create something which will be like him. But not a robot. He wants to create something which will be like him through choice. It's like when you have kids. The kids are not robots. Believe me, they're not robots. I mean, you can program them. You can try to program them.
Yeah,
but the kids are not robots. You can try. In Russia, they did. Thank you. Zakloch.
Hello,
everyone. Thank you. Come around, please.
I will.
Thank you.
Take care,
sir. So we're talking about how Hashem created the world for people to be like Him, as close as we can. That's our aim is trying to emulate Hashem. Torah says, "V'alachta b'drachav." You'll walk in His ways. How do you walk in His ways? Just like He is merciful, you be merciful. You copy Him, copy His ways. You walk in His ways. You copy His ways, which is hard to do because it's a very high bar, right? Erech Apayim, slow to anger. It's a very high bar. Child keep bugging you. Hashem, slow to anger. The humility of Hashem, amazing. So that's number one. That's the first reason. That's the Arizal's reason. Ki en ba'olam mishe kabel rachem menu en yik rechamun. If no one can receive mercy from Hashem, how are people going to emulate His mercy? And so forth. So that's the reason mentioned in the Arizal. The Matot Midrash brings other reasons. Number one, the Jew should come into the world. And Hashem should, we talked about Rashi, Yom Hashishi. Hashem created the world for Yom Hashishi. What's Yom Hashishi? Number one is that you should accept the five books of Moses. Ha! And number two is for the sixth of Sivan. You should get the Torah on the sixth of Sivan. That's the second reason. Hashem should create the Jews to accept the Torah. And then they should have free choice. And then the Yitzhak will come and attack them. And the Jews, with his help, will conquer the Yitzhak. And through this, they will complete the world's creation. So in other words, Hashem gave us a tremendous opportunity over here. He didn't create it. He did not create a perfect world. That answers the question. How could the earth rebel against Hashem? And the answer, Hashem created obsolescence in the world. Whatever. I call it. Built-in obsolescence, like the American car companies.
iPhone. Electronics.
Designed for failure.
But someone can fix it. Who's that? My creatures I'm going to create are going to fix the world. They're going to help me in the creation of the world. They're going to help me fix my world. So Tikkun Olam became a very big thing. But we don't really realize Tikkun Olam is keeping mitzvot. That's the part that the Reform don't tell you. Keeping mitzvot. I mean, obviously, mitzvot affect us as well. That's the part they don't tell you. Tikkun Olam is to make the world a better place. How do you make the world a better place? We say through Torah and mitzvot. Through Torah and mitzvot, you make the world a better place. And the first thing you forget is we are the world. Every single human being is a world. So let's fix our world first. Let's fix me first. That's why Vilna Gaon says the biggest priority is tikkun amidot. That's what our purpose in the world is, to fix ourselves. That's our olam. So that's the second reason he gives, is to earn reward. To earn reward and to accept the Torah, and through accepting the Torah and doing mitzvot and withstanding the trials, that's a hard one. We can fix the world. Then the main purpose is Hashem will give us goodness. Hashem will give us reward in the next world because Hashem wants to give. And we know, according to Rambam, what's the highest level of giving?
You help somebody get a job.
Get a job. So Hashem gave us a job. Why? Otherwise it was called Nachama de Kisufa, the bread of shame. So the reward is in the next world, which a person, no one's ever seen. If there was no work in this world and there was no Yetzer Hara, all the goodness of the next world would be for free, and that would be bread of shame. So this is the reason that Hashem created the world. Kamosha Pershu Hazal ala Pasuk Bereshit Bara Elokim. Rashi says over there, Bereshit Bara Elokim. In the beginning. This is Bereshona. It's Bereshit. So Rashi says a lot of drashot over there. Bishvil Reshit. For the Reshit. Hashem created the world. And then he tells you, who is Reshit? He gives you different options. Reshit, Yisrael.
Torah and Yisrael.
Torah is also called Reshit.
Yisrael
is also
called Reshit.
The first fruits.
Bikurim.
And Reshit Daganecha, which is Zeremis.
It's Bikurim. Bikurim and the Truma Masra. But he says, yeah. So it was created for this purpose. It was a purpose for Israel and for the Torah.
Base Reshit.
Why? So we should earn reward. And get reward, which we earn. Earned reward, not free reward. Okay. So Hashem is a giver. Hashem wants to give. How do we know Hashem is a giver? Because why else would He create the world? Why would He want to give us an opportunity to earn reward? Because He's a giver. He wants to give the best possible He can. And the best possible He can is other people. You give them a job. So He gave us the highest level of giving because Hashem is a giver. It's hard to imagine, right? You have the whole world to yourself. What more do you want? I mean, Cain killed Hevel. I want the world to myself. A lot of people just want the world to themselves. Imagine, I have all the resources at my control. People don't realize how hard it is to have run everything. You go to Ruth Robinson Crusoe. You go do everything from scratch yourself. It's hard to be Adam. The Quran says, look at Adam, how lucky we are. Adam had to go and sow the corn and wheat and barley and then make it into 10 different melachot to make it into bread. We go and we buy, someone made it for us. So it's advantageous to have people around to do things for you. Okay, person says, you know what, I'll get machines. But who's going to make the machines? It's not easy. Who's going to draw the oil from the ground and going to make it into gasoline or whatever it is, some kind of... Who's going to make the solar panels? If you're going to make solar, who's going to make it? Suppose that, you know, I want to be my... So you know what I have to do? I have to get the people and control them as a dictator. People don't realize the advantage of having other people around, also thinking beings. I was talking to my son yesterday, Shlomo. So this letter came out from Einstein. You heard of it? They're auctioning off a letter for $1.5 million. That's the starting bid. Einstein. It was one of the last letters he wrote in his life, and it was about God and religion, which he should have steered clear because he doesn't know anything about God and religion. Einstein knew nothing about God and religion. He was raised by secular parents as a secular Jew. So he said, I don't believe in God. He said, I don't believe in God. And I don't believe in religion. And for me, Judaism has no value more than any other religion. That's Einstein. And they're going to sell this letter for $1.5 million. So my son says, listen, he has no business discussing this. He knows nothing about religion. Right? The value of religion is sociology. How do people treat people? A scientist doesn't know how do people treat people. Yeah, I'll invent an atom bomb. What does a scientist know? How to invent things, to make bombs, and make things, other things. But he doesn't know anything about morality, he doesn't know anything about ethics, and he says religion is worthless.
Was it him or Oppenheimer that later
quoted? Oppenheimer
who quoted that if he realized how destructive...
Oppenheimer.
It was Oppenheimer.
Yeah. Okay. Manhattan Project.
Right.
He committed suicide, right, at the end? I think Oppenheimer committed suicide in the end. Just couldn't live with the guilt.
Or cancer.
So, Rabbi, one of the best ways to emulate God is to give.
Mm-hmm. That's why you need to have a wife. That's why you need to have children. Why does the Torah say you have to get married? Because you can't give to yourself. You need someone to give to. So who do you give to? Okay, people around you, but it's not the same. Why? Because there's no test over there. People around you, you can move away from them. You don't interfere with them. They don't interfere with you. Your wife, she interferes with you, and you have to live with it. It's not just giving, it's also forgiving. It's giving and forgiving. It's wild. It's hard to live with someone. I don't know if you know that. It's hard to have kids around. Very hard. Some people can't take it. Just kids running around all the time. That goes on my nerve.
It's hard when they move.
Huh?
It's hard when they move also.
It's also hard when they move. It's true. You know, the famous joke is the priest and the rabbi and things had a big debate. When are you considered born, alive? So the priest says, well, it's conception. And the other one says, it's birth. And the rabbi said, it's when the kids grow up and they move out of the house. That's when you're alive. It's a joke. But the idea of having kids, the idea of having a wife, the idea of living in a minyan. How can you live with a minyan and go to shul without the give and take?
You don't have a minyan without give and take.
Exactly. You got to put up with a guy you can't stand sitting next to you, or shuckling away, or doing something, or burping, or whatever it is. He's right next to you. And you're praying. And he can't, he's disturbing you, but still, you make it. Hashem wants us to get along. Because that's the give and take. If you get along, you forgive someone, that's giving. You're giving part of your soul, you're giving part of your... It's very hard to do. And that's what Hashem wants. Hashem wants us to be givers. But if you have no one to give to, Hashem created to, in order to give, we have to create also in order to give. We have to be altruistic, just like Hashem is altruistic. How do you be altruistic? The answer is you give to someone, doesn't give you back. Kids, they're both ungrateful kids. Suddenly when you go up and you become 50 years old and 60 years old, you say, oh, my parents, I really appreciate now what they did for me. Then I appreciate, then you appreciate. When you're young, you don't even think about what they give to you. They owe you. My parents owe me. What do you mean? That's what kids say. They owe me. I expect it. And then they get nasty if you don't give them. They're used to getting and they don't realize that it's effort and it's sacrifice. They don't hear. It's very important to tell them it's an effort and sacrifice that you got to appreciate. Maybe they share from a third party. That's the job of the schools, which they're failing at. To tell them how much their parents suffer for them. And explain to them how much their parents are giving for them. I had a kid in my class messing around. I said, listen, do you know how much your father pays for your tuition? $17,000 a year? But they don't know what money is. They're just... $17,000 a year? And you're messing around? $17,000 a year? Crazy? You're burning his money? Go. I don't know if that helps. Maybe it helps. But he's going to think about it afterwards. At least someone put the idea. Maybe
he'll think about it 30 years later.
Maybe. hopefully straight away. Okay, so now what does Hashem do? I want to create over here, but I can't create. I need to the creatures to grow. I need the creatures to develop. I need them to be individuals. How does it happen? He withdrew from a certain space. He made a space in order to create. Like sometimes you need to make a vacuum to do something. Create a vacuum of his own energy. So that's the whole discussion. What does this mean? A vacuum of Hashem's energy. Is that possible? So that's what the Ruchaim Veloshin says. I think that's the best explanation I've heard. Ruchaim Veloshin says, it's not a vacuum of Hashem's energy. It's a vacuum in our heads. He created a barrier in our heads that we can't see him. That's the vacuum. It's not a vacuum that really is not there. He's there.
Nefesh HaChaim.
Amazing. Beautiful explanation. Otherwise, it doesn't make sense. There's places where Hashem is not there. But it's not true, because he makes a vacuum, and then he fills up the vacuum as well. It's a trickle of energy. The analogy the rabbis give, is like you are in a bathysphere. You know what a bathysphere is? What's a bathysphere? It's one of those vehicles they use to go to the bottom of the ocean.
Like a submarine?
Yeah.
Deeper, much deeper.
And it's made of really... It's spherical. Bacillus? It's got to be spherical.
Bacillus.
Sphere. Bathosphere. It's a sphere.
Oh, it's a sphere.
It's like a bathosphere. You go to the bath. Bathosphere. It's a sphere because spheres can take pressure.
Can take the pressure and uniformly.
So it's a very strong material to make the pressure. They put a guy inside to go down into the ocean. Or they put cameras inside to risk a guy. Goes down like I don't know how many miles they can go down. Going to the ocean is as much as going to space. The technology involved. It's amazing. People don't even think about it. So now imagine, the ocean is Hashem's power, energies. Hashem wants to create human beings down below inside his energy. It's like inside the bottom of the ocean. Hashem has created something in the bottom of the ocean. So Hashem had to create a space for the guy to grow. So the pressure of Hashem will not... Why? Look what happened in Har Sinai. The revelation, the power of revelation, blew their minds. Like imagine if you can see Hashem. Blow your minds. They can't grow. A person can't grow with that pressure. So Hashem made the system... I'll call the spheres of the spherot, which are really like valves. Each sphere is a valve. The energy goes from the top to the bottom, go all the way down to us, trickles down through us into our world. And that trickle is the orits of the light of Hashem. So the outside of this sphere, there's Hashem's light energy, which is just blowing, bursting in. But he created the sphere. It's not a sphere in time or space. This potential, whatever it is, it's a sphere. He withdrew from the space to create within it. And that's what the Kabbalah discusses. What did he create in that sphere? So that's just an introduction to creation. That's what he says. That's the Tzimtzum. That's the introduction to creation. So Tzimtzum is, Rav Chaim Veloshin says, it's not true that there's a physical Tzimtzum. Tzimtzum is we cannot grasp. Our minds are built. Our minds are limited. I used to have a guy in Shir, in Yeshiva. The rabbi's talking, he's going to me. My mind is small. God, I don't understand what he's saying. So I swear. And that's exactly how Hashem created us. Our minds are small, so all we have to do is try and get used to them. Slowly. It's like Shmuel and Navi, when Hashem appears to Shmuel and Navi. Shmuel, Shmuel! Never had a revelation before. He runs to Eli. Eli, you call me? I didn't call you, go back to sleep. Shmuel, Shmuel! Eli, you call me? Call me. Go back to sleep. And if you hear that voice again, it's Hashem calling. So there's a preparation stage. People are going to prepare themselves for that stage to break the barrier. So Avraham Avinu did. Avraham Avinu broke the barrier between him and Hashem. Just by searching and breaking, searching and searching and searching. So eventually Hashem talks to him. But it's possible for Hashem to talk to us as well. But just, you're going to break the barrier so hard. Plus, if you're scared, you'll never get through. If you're scared, you never break through. But truth is, we don't know if we can withstand it. That's our problem. Right? So to get to the level, the person's going to be holy. And yes, Rambam says you can't be a Navi unless you're strong physically. Withstand a trance-like state. You go crazy.
So Rav Kook holds that the exercises in mitzvah teraisa.
Halabai. Says, there's only one mitzvah says me'od. Mishmartem me'od le'nafshutem. Which means to guard your soul, but also your body. Because you have it, as Rama says, you can't have a healthy soul without a healthy body. idea is a healthy soul in a healthy body. And they're both hard. Both hard to have a healthy soul and a healthy body. It's so hard. It's just like there's poison for bodies, there's poison for the soul. A sin is a poison for the soul. Kills the soul. Doesn't kill the soul. It kills our linkage to our souls. Person has a soul, but it's up there. He's got to get it down into his body. That's the hard part. It's joining it. Joining with the soul. Okay, I'm going to stop here. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen. This should be Aliyah for the soul of Meir Chaim Rafael Ben Aneftos V. We should have Aliyah in the world above. And...